It's time to turn the spotlight on local, national, and international affairs, plus some goss and scandal. And here's the man that does that so well, Mitchell Dye.
Good morning, and thank you very much to Robin Russell for doing a great job filling in for the Gems as they're up in New South Wales. And there's a lot to get stuck into today on the program. Of course, finals fever has hit in the AFL. We'll be talking about the season in review a little bit later on. We'll also be having a look at how do you make time for what's important when it comes to productivity and time management. And also coming up, the Liberal candidate for Bellarine, Brian McKittrick. But first of all, the Labor member for Geelong, Christine Cousins, is in the studio. Christine, it's very good to see you. How are you?
Good, thank you. And go Cats.
Yeah, it's exciting to make it into the eight, but do you think we'll get past the first week against Melbourne?
They'll be formidable. Of course we will. I've got every confidence.
You've got money on them to win the premiership if you are a betting person. Well, there's a lot to get stuck into. I mean, first of all, over the last week in federal politics, it's been a bit of a rough ride. And some of what we've seen from the government has been almost like a third world country in that they have problems with government stability and such, and it's not surprising that the public has responded in today's poll. But do you think there's going to be ramifications and knock-on effects from that at a state level?
Oh, look, I think the Liberal brand is not looking great. I'd be particularly worried at a state and federal election if I were them. You know, it's not good, and I think the catalyst for a lot of people was the shutting down of the parliament because it was all about those individuals, which was just appalling.
Yeah, so they voted to close Parliament down, I think, 5 hours early or something.
That's right. And, you know, people expect their members of Parliament to get on with the job and do what they need to do for the country. And they clearly didn't do that. And, you know, having spoken to many people over the last couple of days, that was the catalyst for them to say, enough's enough, we need a change in government.
Of course, Federal Labor has been through a little bit of this and they have managed to recover in terms of the polls. So it shows maybe that it doesn't mean that parties go extinct, all of this sort of thing.
Oh, no, certainly not. And, you know, I would have thought that given the Rudd-Gillard-Rudd situation that Labor experienced some years ago, that all parties would learn a lesson from that. And then that's not something that the Australian public take lightly. And what we've seen over the last week or so, I think, was far worse than what happened with the Rudd-Gillard-Rudd situation.
So how many days is it now until the state election? I think it's either the low 90s or the high 80s to
go. It's about 90 days, I think. Yeah, so it's not far off.
Are you going to be making a few announcements over that period for Geelong?
Oh, yeah, we certainly will be, and we've been working through what our commitment will be to the Victorian people in the coming 4 years if we get the privilege of representing Victoria again. So we'll have a lot more to say on many, many things in the coming 90 days.
The tech school, tell us about that.
Yeah, the tech school, it's such a fantastic opportunity for secondary students in Geelong. So we built the tech school, which is almost complete. It'll be officially opened in the coming weeks. And that's about matching skills and jobs, which is something that industry has been on about for a very, very long time, and we've actually done it. And I think the important thing is that, you know, it's linked to all the other opportunities that we've introduced into Victoria. The free TAFE courses, putting, you know, massive amounts of money into education, because we see that as, the, you know, one of the key issues that young people face today.
How far do you think it will go to addressing some of the skills shortages that we see? I mean, a lot of those tech school subjects and the free TAFE courses are in areas where we as a state have a lot of skills shortages.
Yes, that's exactly right. And, you know, for many years, it's been frustrating listening to people talk about the skill shortages that we've had for a long time and done nothing about. So, you know, I'm really proud to be part of a government that is looking at those skill shortages. How do we address that? Get our young people into courses and the tech school, obviously, to ensure that we are meeting the needs of the future. What we've done is rolled out so many infrastructure projects right across Victoria, but what we do need to do is ensure that we have the skills for those people that we need to roll out those projects.
Now, in recent times, there's been a bit of a shift in the energy policy debate towards the government having a go at privatisation. Why why do you think privatisation has become such a big problem now when it obviously happened many, many years ago under the Kennett era, but it seems like just now we're having a crisis with power prices?
Well, I think the issue with, particularly in Victoria, where Kennett did sell off our power with the promise that it'd make it cheaper. Well, it hasn't. It's actually made it more expensive. And those power companies, you know, and feel they're under no obligation to, you know, maintain our lines properly. And we've seen that with bushfires that have been caused by lack of maintenance. You know, really, they're on about profit. They're not on about providing a service that's up to standard. So, you know, that impacts on the Victorian people. And we have been seeing that over the last few years in particular, where power prices have just escalated.
What is the government going to do in response? I mean, I presume you can't buy back the power network, for example.
Well, you know, for many of us, that would be a fantastic thing to do. But unfortunately, you know, we don't have the billions and billions and billions of dollars that that's going to take unless we buy it at a fire sale. So, you know, I think our recent announcement around the solar energy opportunities for Victorians is really significant. Not only is it good for our environment, but it also will help keep power prices down for individuals in their own homes. So we'll be rolling out a lot more over the next couple of months to address those issues around power prices.
Yeah, a big one's been that solar hot water announcement.
Yes.
I mean, how much of a slice out of people's energy bills goes to electric hot water systems currently, do you know, or roughly? I mean, is this going to be a big difference to people's power bills?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, you know, I think, you know, it will save people a huge amount of money over the year, but also, you know, it's that environmental impact that that will have as well. So, you know, the opportunities to put solar panels on the roof, to put solar hot water services in your home are becoming a real reality now.
Now, the High Street Belmont situation, mm-hmm. there's that consultation process. Did you personally have a view on which of the options you would like to see for High Street?
Not a specific option. You know, I'd like to see those bike paths put in, obviously. I think, you know, once they're in there, people will use them. I know myself, I won't ride my bike on the road at the moment because it's not safe. And a lot of people feel the same way. If we provide those safe cycling paths for people, they will use them.
Do you think there'll be effects to High Street in terms of the traffic? Because when you're coming in from the Surf Coast, you can either go around Settlement Road mm-hmm. or down High Street. And I think a lot of cars just choose to go down High Street. It's actually quite a major thoroughfare.
Mm. Yeah, and that's true. But if you, you know, it's now been reduced to 40K, which, you know, puts people off who are just running through from one end to the other from using it. I think, you know, we have to make it safe for all the community, not just vehicles, but bike riders and pedestrians. And I think this is a great way of doing that.
And the Green Spine, where are we at with that project?
Yes, so the Green Spine has now been completed in that first section. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll win the next election and we'll be committing the rest of the funds to complete that. It's a great change for Geelong. People are really excited about it. And linking the Eastern Gardens to Johnson's Park is a fantastic idea.
That's the end goal, that big long
link. Yes, it is,
which
yeah.
I presume is many stages into the future.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the renting reforms, I saw this on, I think it was either Daniel Andrews' page or your page, and our real estate agents that come in are a little bit concerned about what it might entail. I just wonder, from your point of view, from the constituents you speak to, mm-hmm. how widespread are some of the issues that you're talking about in terms of rental properties and, for example, people renting out properties that aren't really fit for habitation?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, there certainly are issues around that. There's no doubt of that in my electorate of Geelong. I think the reforms are significant and will benefit tenants to a great degree. I suppose the majority of people that have contacted me about it are tenants who support the changes to the legislation. I spoke on the bill last week in Parliament. It went through the lower house and is now sitting with the upper house. So I think, you know, there needs to be a clear understanding that when you rent a property, you're paying for the right to live in that property and do whatever you want that, you know, anybody else can when living in a house or a unit or apartment or whatever it may be. So you're paying for that right. I think some of the issues that have been raised around, you know, if you have a pet, they're going to destroy the place.
Mm.
Well, you know, that's assuming that every tenant that has a pet is going to do the wrong thing, which is quite unfair, I think. There are already laws in place that if there is damage done to a property, the tenant is responsible. So, you know, the pet issue, I think, is an important one for many people, particularly when you're talking about support pets. So elderly people that have a dog or a cat or a bird or whatever it may be, they should be entitled to have that. And if there is any damage to the property, then, yes, the tenant needs to pay. And there's already laws around that.
And the other concern is minor modifications to the yes. property, and how minor is minor?
Well, you know, we're talking about hanging pictures on the wall, for example. You know, if you want to put a picture on the wall, you should be able to do that. Of course, if you put a big hole in the wall when you're putting the picture up, then you're responsible for that. So it's no different to any other situation where, you know, accidents happen and there may be damage done to the premises. You as the tenant are responsible, and that's no different if you hang a picture on the wall and put a hole in the wall or whatever. It's your responsibility to cover the costs of that.
And last of all, I see that there's been some talk or announcements around family violence and domestic violence support services, the Orange Door,
yes,
I think it's called.
Yeah, look, that's really exciting. That opened about 10 weeks ago now in Geelong. So the Orange Doors have been set up right across the state. Geelong is one of the first to be established and is a bit of a trial centre to, you know, roll out any problems that may occur. But this is about women having access to services immediately as they need them. You know, it's part of the 227 recommendations from the Royal Commission into Family Violence. And that was one of the key recommendations, that we put accessible services on the street so that women who are experiencing family violence can access those. And I think that came from many, many women giving evidence at the Royal Commission that they didn't know where to go, it wasn't accessible, and they were given the runaround. So this enables women to walk in off the street and get the services they need.
Well, thank you very much for coming in this morning to tell us about some of the big issues that are in play for the 100 days or less to go to the election. Mm. Looking forward to catching up every month until the election. It's going to be a very, very interesting period. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And, Brian McKittrick is somewhere in the building. We don't have separate exits or entrances, so if everyone can just get along when they're walking past each other in the hallway, that would be greatly appreciated.
Sure we will.
Thank you very much. Christine Cousins there, State Member for Geelong.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.